Welcome to episode 3 of Al Berman Live from a studio apartment in North Hollywood, California. It's great to be back here on my little homemade podcast. And I'm still having trouble uploading the podcast to the iTunes store. I don't really understand what they want from me. They keep asking for the URL, and I enter the URL, and they keep telling me it's invalid. And I can't seem to get an answer that I understand. I emailed them, and they emailed me back, and some guy was telling me, and, you know, in that kind of tech talk, like, sounds like something from another planet, you know, from an alien. It's just like, you know, you need to modulate your fibrillator with your facculator and put it into the extenuator. And it's just like, what? I don't know what you're talking about. I hope to rectify this at some point. I'd like to have it on the store. Just not that I'm going to sell it or make money from this, but it's, I think that's how you get comments and reviews. And I so want my comments and reviews. I was reading that Steve Jobs, before he passed away, one of his big goals was to get the Beatles on iTunes. And apparently he was able to do that prior to his death. And I don't think it was so much that the Beatles didn't want to be on iTunes. I just think they couldn't figure out how to upload. You know, I'm trying to put Love Me Do up there, but it's not working. I don't understand. That's what I think happened. But now the Beatles are up there. Had an interesting thing happen this week on Facebook. Got a couple of comments from people who listen to my podcast, and a couple of ladies said separately, they don't know each other. They both said, "You're welcome." Like, they just said, "You're welcome. You're more than welcome." And I didn't know what they were talking about. And so I wrote them back. I go, did I thank you for something? I don't recall even having a conversation with you guys about anything. And they both reminded me separately that, at the end of my podcast, I thank people for listening. And so I felt very embarrassed because it didn't occur to me that the thank you I said on Tuesday would be acknowledged 8 days later. And so I've decided that from now on, if I get any kind of comments that I don't understand on Facebook or wherever, I'm just not going to respond. I'm just going to figure it. It's something I said at some point or did. I want to give a shout out to my fan base in India. It turns out that I have doubled my fan base. My friend Abs told me that his buddy AJ is a fan, so that's at least two people that are fans now. He said a few of his friends are fans, but he mentioned AJ by name, so I'm giving a little shout out to him. Then I got a message from somebody else in India, not related to my fan base, who wanted to know if I spoke Hindi. That's an interesting question. Yes, growing up in Paterson, New Jersey, my parents insisted that we speak Hindi in our house at all times. No, Hindi, I don't speak Hindi. Not that I'm against speaking Hindi or learning Hindi. I'm completely open. I would love to know many languages. I know in this country we generally don't speak more than one language when we're Americans like me. But I would be more than willing to learn. But no, sir, I do not speak Hindi. That is an answer to your question. I got a Facebook request this week from one of those foreign hot women. You know, the type that they've got a hot picture, and they have about 8 friends, and they want to be friends with me. That's great. And she wrote me a little note. She said, "Hello, ... I would like ... for us ... She had a lot of ... to be friend ... And I wrote her back saying, "I like the way you said hello ... but didn't say my name." That was a nice personal touch. And then she wrote back something that I didn't quite understand. You know, and then she was trying to get me to, she said, "I'm not really on Facebook too much. You go to Yahoo and chat with me there." So obviously she's running some kind of scam, and she's trying to, you know, probably get me to marry her or send her money, or marry her and send her money. And, you know, so that's what's happening in my love life these days. Then I got a friend request from somebody on YouTube. Like, now you can be friends with people on YouTube, too. And YouTube tells you, well, then you can keep track of what your friends are uploading, and you can share. It's like, I don't want that many friends, okay? I've already got enough friends. I mean, I don't mind having friends on Facebook or friends in real life, but I don't really want, I'm not interested in what people are uploading. I don't want them to know what I'm uploading. Can't I just have my own privacy, my own peace of mind? And there's just too much networking going on. I've got one friend of mine, you know, she's always, I never even talked to her, and she's constantly sending me requests. Like, the latest was LinkedIn. Mia wants you to join LinkedIn. I don't even talk to Mia in life, or Facebook, or MySpace, or anything. You know, so why are we, stop it with the networking. Stop it already. And now it's time for my story about another close encounter with a celebrity. I'm not going to do this every time, because obviously I'll run out of celebrities at some point pretty quickly, but this is in response to my friend Abs in India, who wanted to hear some celebrity stories. And this one involves Jerry Seinfeld. And I met Jerry Seinfeld in 1990, the very beginning of 1990, when I was just getting into stand-up. We had a mutual friend. It was an old friend of his, and it was kind of a new acquaintance of mine. And this new acquaintance was getting married, and he invited me to his bachelor party. And I go to this bachelor party, and it was just about every young, big-time comedian was there. It's Jerry Seinfeld, Paul Reiser, Larry Miller. I'm told Larry David was there. I didn't, you know who he was at the time, but I'm told that he had been there, looking back. Dom Irrera, you know, great comedians. And it was very exciting for me. And one of my comic friends took me over to Jerry, because I was a big fan of Jerry. I just loved his stand-up. And he took me over to Jerry, and he introduced me to him, and he said, you know, Jerry, this is Al. He's very funny. He's just starting to stand up. And Jerry was like, where can I see you? It's a terrible Jerry Seinfeld impersonation. But he was like, where can I see you? And it was just like, you know, I didn't want to tell him. Oh, you can, I'm playing the Natural Fudge Restaurant Tuesday. Sign up is at 6. I'll go on anytime between 7 and 2. I just said, you know, I'll be around town. I'll let you know if I see you. And so that was that. He was very nice, very pleasant. And that was right before his show got on the air, I think, or took off. But he was already pretty well-known stand-up. And so from time to time, I would run into him at the Hollywood Improv or places like that, in the comedy clubs. And every time I would see him, I would always have to remind him of where I knew him from. It's like he always looked at me like he had no idea who I was, which is fine, because he really shouldn't have known who I was, but I kind of felt like, you know, when you meet somebody, you know, and especially I don't really look like everybody in L.A., so I would have thought it would have registered that, yeah, this guy looks familiar, but he always gave me this blank look, and so I always just have to tell him, like, oh, well, Jerry, I know, you know, we were at the bachelor party together, and blah, 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 and oh, he'd be, oh, yeah, you know. And this happened several times, and every time it was the same thing. He would, you know, oh, yeah, you know, but he would, you know, obviously didn't know who I was and didn't recognize me, which was fine. I didn't take that personal, and, you know, the guy was a big star, meets a lot of people, God bless him, great comedian. And then one night, I'm doing stand-up in a bookstore in West Hollywood, California, basically... there was a room kind of in the back. We had chairs set up. We had a microphone, a little sound system. And, you know, a few of us were doing stand-up, and there was a little crowd. And it was very pleasant. It was very common here in Los Angeles, and I think in New York, to do comedy in places like that. And this particular night, we do the show. Well, we get done, and I'm walking out. And as I'm walking out of the bookstore, I look to my right, and I see comedian George Wallace, who I actually happen to have known from the improv, who actually introduced himself to me one night because he had seen me around. He recognized me at the improv. He came up to me and says, you know, I see you all the time. I'm George. What's your name? And very nice guy, great comedian. I was thrilled to meet him. And I saw him. So I looked to my right. There he is. And I say hi to him. Hi, how you doing, George? And he says, hi, how are you? Big smile. And then right to my left, there It's Jerry Seinfeld. And it turns out him and Jerry are like major friends, close friends. And this is the one time I neglected to preface my greeting to Jerry with, you know, I met you at the, we have a mutual friend, I met you at the bachelor party, and I just said, hey, Jerry, we just did stand-up in the back there. Thinking he might just, you know, I don't know what he would think, but, and he got a look of utter disdain on his face, and he just said, oh, stand-up, I, comedy, I really love that, and he kind of like snapped the book shut, and was just like, whoa, I couldn't really believe that, and I said, okay, goodbye, and walked out, and there was a girl with her mother who had been in the comedy show. The girl had been in the show, and her mother came to see us, and they were big fans, and they said they tried to talk to him, and he was very rude, and we were like, oh, gee, that's weird, and so, you know, it was kind of disconcerting. Wow, Jerry was kind of rude, and then what happened is I lost complete interest in him I stopped watching his show. I didn't care about his show anymore. I didn't care about his stand-up. You know, because I just didn't, you know, I felt like, you know, hurt. I didn't really like him anymore. And then as time went on, I started to think like, you know, he's just a guy. Just because he's a celebrity, just because he's, you know, famous and he's wealthy and he's, you know, a great talent, that doesn't mean that he's anything really special, that he's going to be somebody that you have to expect is going to be on. I mean, I don't know what I expected from the guy. You know, I mean, does he have to be in a good mood all the time? For all I know, he could have had a headache, or he could have, somebody might have died, or he could have had diarrhea. You know, I don't know what was the problem. He's just a man. He's just a human. And so I forgave him. I forgave him silently. And which was, you know, I just realized it, you know, it's not his responsibility to be nice to me or be nice to everybody. And I mean, it would have been nice if he would have been nice, but, you know, whatever. And so I forgave him. And so consequently, you know, now I can watch his stand-up. I think he's one of the greatest stand-up comedians ever. I mean, he's up there with Cosby. He's up there with Carlin, Pryor. He's right in there. And I have nothing but respect for him as a comedian. However, if I was to run into him on the street, I don't think I wouldn't say anything to him anymore. I would just let him be and leave him alone. And maybe he'd come up to me and go, hey, didn't we go to a bachelor party together? Many years ago. I know, I got the worst Seinfeld impersonation. Anyway, that's my Jerry Seinfeld story. And that's my podcast for this week. Hopefully you enjoyed it. And again, I want to thank everybody for listening. And if you do send me a message on Facebook and you just say you're welcome, I will know what you mean. And again, it's Thanksgiving next week. Everybody have a great Thanksgiving. And we'll talk to you next time.